Now, any parent's worst nightmare is to have their children disappear. Well, it's even worse to learn that the captor is the other parent. Well, this is exactly what happened to Jeannie Baker Guy, and she's here to tell us her story. Great to have you on the show, Jeannie.
Well, thank you, Selena. It is wonderful and surprising to be here.
I'm guessing you're in America by your accent, are you?
I am. I'm in the central time zone. I live just outside of Austin, Texas.
Wow. And it sounds like you're next door.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Isn't it just? So, I can't imagine your story, how you must have felt. We're talking about 1977, and your husband, Klaus, was German. So take us through what happened.
I had met him when I went off to Indiana University to college. And thought he was very worldly, handsome, and I believe I mistook his arrogance to be that worldliness. We got married a couple years later. We had definitely gone through some bumps in the relationship, so to speak. But once we got married, I saw a very different side to him. And that arrogance encompassed a real prejudice for anyone who was not a white male. And I did not know how to identify that at the time, but I knew it was difficult to live with. Mm. And we had, we'd been married about 3 years. We had our son, Kai, and then we had a daughter. In an effort to save the marriage later on. But it was, as I say in the book, it was an ill-fated marriage.
Yeah. Did you get married quite quickly?
I started dating him in 1965, and we were married in 1967.
Okay. It's about normal then, isn't it? A couple of years to get to know somebody.
A couple of years, right? Yeah. And I think I was just a starry-eyed 18-year-old, and I had some friends who took note of his prejudices and his arrogance, and I just made a decision that they just didn't understand him, that there was more to him than meets the eye, and even though he was a rather brusque individual, I was in love.
Mm. Yeah, it's difficult to tell somebody when you are in love or you feel that you're in love. Nobody can tell you otherwise, can they?
No, and, you know, you see things differently when you're, I believe, that age, and sometimes even older things happen. You know, you just don't see a person for who they really are. And I sure missed the boat on this. And also, I think because of his upbringing, he courted me, and in his mind, as I perceived it, that was what you did. And then when you got married, things were very different.
Yeah, yeah. I often hear that when I'm chatting to people on the show. So when what happened with the children, were you still together or had you split up at that time?
We had separated once earlier in the marriage when my son was about 20 months old. We ended up staying together. We had a second child, Megan, to save the marriage. Please, people, if there's anybody listening, don't ever do that. and then time passed, and we finally, we hit a wall, and I said I just couldn't do it anymore. I couldn't handle his Aryan ways. And so we separated, but lived under the same roof for a while, which was also a mistake. And when I actually filed for divorce, he said he was going to fight me in court for the kids. So instead of that, about a month before the divorce was to be final, he offered to not contest the divorce, but we would have to split everything. And by that, he meant we would have to split the children. We would have to, he would keep our son and I would keep my daughter, which was painful to say the least.
Yeah, Yeah. Did you agree to that then?
I did. Another mistake in my life. And in my book, I make no bones about my own mistakes and fears. I want people to know what it's like to acknowledge that and to be vulnerable enough to say so.
Yeah, well done.
So I made that mistake, and a couple months later, met my second husband and married him in a very short order. You know, it was the knight in shining armor coming into my life, and an opportunity for some happiness that I had not had in my first marriage. And when I got remarried, Klaus just went totally insane. There were threats. He broke into my apartment. He stole things. He broke into my second husband when I was dating him, broke into his apartment, stole a gun. It was a very wild ride, so to speak. And then he made amends with me one day, and trying to believe that all things good could happen, he apologized for his behavior and said he had gotten a new job, wanted to take the kids to an amusement park for a long weekend. And I said, wow, this is great. I'm glad you've had a change of heart, and I'm glad things. And he gave me a big hug, and he said, you just wait. He said, everything's going to work out just fine.
Crikey.
And then he took the kids, left. I remember waving goodbye to them as they drove off. And 5 days later, I had an Episcopal priest at my door delivering a letter telling me that, and the letter was from Klaus, and the letter said that he had gone to Germany and I would never see him or the kids again.
Oh, my Lord. And this is your son who is 6 and your daughter was just 3 at the time.
That's right, Selena. Megan had just turned 3 in July, and that's the month that the kids were taken. And Ty was 6 and a half. So over the years in working on the book, Ty has offered some help here and there. Both kids said, Mom, it's your book to write. But he did have memories. And so in 2015, I reached out to him and asked him. He and his wife came over to my apartment at the time and helped piece some things together that I simply didn't have the details for. So my kids have been wonderful about this.
Amazing, amazing. Now, those first few seconds, hours, days, I can't imagine, but this went on for months. And you say the next 4 months were filled with absolute agony, understandably.
They were. I remember distinctly after opening this letter from this mutual friend of ours, a priest who was unsuspecting of its contents. The man was brought into a very bad situation. And I read this letter from Klaus, and then I just collapsed. I was brought into the apartment, and simply, I just lost it. I sobbed, I cried. We tried to make sense of things, and the police were called, and a sheriff came over, and we explained the story to them of what had happened. But back in 1977, Klaus had not committed a crime. He was their father.
But he didn't have to bring them back to you?
No, no.
Wow. Blimey.
It was a very sad state of affairs at that time. So I just, I remember being actually given a tranquilizer that night and put to bed, and my head just swimming with thoughts about what was I going to do. Here I am, you know, at that point, a 30-year-old woman. I'm not a private detective. My kids were gone, and they'd been taken to Germany, and I didn't know what to do. And so my best friend of 17 years came quickly, and she stayed with me and my husband at the time for several days, and we made phone calls. We did everything we knew how to do, but we got zero help.
So there's absolutely no law that says that he should, even if it was just for you to be able to visit them, you couldn't see them at all.
Well, he did not tell us of his whereabouts. Oh, so there was no way for me to even think about doing that. There were laws in effect at the time, but he made sure that I would not know of his whereabouts. And he, of course, said no law was going to tell him what to do with his children. So he would just hide them. And he used a family member as a go-between for mail in Germany, one of his brothers. And even the brother did not know exactly where he was. He would not even tell his family.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I don't want to have a spoiler alert, but you did mention that you've been speaking to Ty. So can I ask, did you get them back, and did you get them back quickly?
Oh, yes. That's
Phew. That. I'm so happy.
They were gone for 4 months. And I was successful in retrieving them. I had to go steal my children back.
Wow.
And I won't give away too much, but once I did find them, I actually had paper custody by then of both of them. I had gone back to court in Indiana and gotten custody of both of them. They are still in my life. My son is now 50. My daughter is 46, and they each live probably no more than 20 or 25 minutes away from me.
Ah, that is wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful news. It's a shocking story, and I'm so happy that you got them back. And it sounds like, because you were so young and it was such a long time ago, but it sounds like you gained strength somehow and became a bit of a warrior. Good for you.
Well, thank you. The main point of my writing this story, originally I just wanted to write the story for the children as a legacy book. Here's what happened, and you should know your history. But I, you know, the whole child stealing, the whole kidnapping aspect of it, and the fact that I had made so many mistakes, I felt important to put it in a broader perspective and to let people know that even when the worst thing you can imagine, so it feels, is happening to you, you can dig deep. You do have that courage inside of you. And for me to go out into a world where at that point, forgive me for not having the numbers close by, but anywhere between 250,000 and 800 some thousand children were missing. Mm. And parental kidnapping is still something that is a serious issue today. But I want to believe that people, even with their fears and mistakes, they need to know that they have it in them to go out there. I was not about to ever give up on finding my kids. And I was well supported by friends and family. So don't give up.
Yeah, that's got to help if you've got the support as well.
Oh, without I have been surrounded by a community of family and friends for my entire life. And even through the publishing process and working with my publicist, I received so much handholding. It's also has been an unknown territory for me, and they have been absolutely wonderful. I have been amazed and shocked at the reception and the reviews of my book. It has touched many lives already, and I am so grateful.
Yeah. So yeah. Well, I think people are probably grateful to you, and we appreciate you being so open and honest about the book, which is called You'll Never Find Us, a memoir. And of course, we're selling it on our website as always. And it's by Jeannie Baker Guy, who we're speaking to now. But Jeannie is spelled with a J, isn't it? J-E-A-N-N-E.
J-E-A-N-N-E, yes. It looks like Jean. My mother ended up calling me Jeannie, so as a tribute to her, I made sure that in the book it's obvious the name is Jeannie.
Do you have magical powers?
I do. I have told people you make three wishes, don't count on any of them coming true.
Bless you. Well, thank you so much, Jeannie, for being on the show today, and I'm so glad it had a happy ending.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Selena. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
It so
bye-bye.
Bye.